This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. If you voted by mail in Wisconsin's April election, you were in good company. Wisconsin saw an enormous shift in the number of people who voted early or by mail. Election officials are looking to accommodate this trend in November, when even more people are expected to cast a ballot. One way they hope to do that is through educating voters. The Wisconsin Elections Commission approved mail-in ballot request forms to be sent out to 2.7 million registered voters. And they'll be sending out postcards explaining how to register for mail-in voting online and what deadlines need to be met. WUWM's Mayon Silver spoke with Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, about why the commission saw a need for the mail-in ballot request forms and how they're preparing for the November election.
The purpose of the mailing is to educate voters about their options for casting their ballot in the November election this year, so be it in person or by mail. And options like absentee voting by mail, those are options that are only available to registered voters. So you must be registered to vote, and you must be registered to vote at your current address and your current name before you're able to cast an absentee ballot or to request an absentee ballot. And so that's a really important safety measure that's in place. And so the commission again felt it was only appropriate to send request forms to voters who are registered to vote and who are eligible to request an absentee ballot.
And so that doesn't include voters who've already requested their mail-in ballots and also voters who have moved recently, right?
That's correct. So the mailing will not be sent to voters who already have an absentee ballot request on file for the calendar year or for the August and November elections this year. And also, if a voter has been flagged through our ERIC process as having a new address, a different address on file with the DMV or with the Postal Service than what we have in our system, those voters also will not be getting this mailing because those voters will need to get re-registered to vote at their current address before they'd be able to request an absentee ballot. I think our mailing is targeted towards voters understanding their options more broadly as we head into November, and also trying to bridge any gaps for voters who maybe don't have access to technology. And so that's why this mailing is also going to include an absentee ballot request form and a postage paid return envelope. So if there is a voter that's not able to go to My Vote, so the mailer also talks about My Vote and how a voter can go there to register, to update their information, to check their registration status, and to request an absentee ballot. But if a voter does not have internet access, then they'd be able to utilize the form that we're sending them to request a ballot using the paper process.
Gotcha. Okay. So when you apply for an absentee ballot, you need to send in a photo ID. And when people use My Vote to request the absentee ballot, your request won't go through unless you upload the ID. But there's nothing stopping someone from sending in a paper form without the photo ID. So how much of a problem is people sending in the ballot applications without photo ID?
Yeah, I think that's an important question. And this is the first time that the state is sending a mailing like that. And we tried at all costs to avoid those pitfalls. So we certainly see those pitfalls with third party mailers, campaign mailers, groups that send out mailers to voters, where voters send back the request and it doesn't have the appropriate information. And so the voter thinks that they've made a request when indeed they have not. And so we tried to be very, very careful. And also one of the reasons why I think a statewide mailing is important, because we are sure to get voters the right information, comprehensive information. We usability tested the information because we really enforce in our mailer that if you do decide that requesting a ballot be sent to you by mail is the right option for you, you have to send a photo ID. And so if you're using the paper process, you're going to have to make a photocopy of your photo ID if you don't already have one on file from voting by mail previously. And so we really reinforce that multiple times in the mailer and in the form that's provided as well. We also have a phone number that voters will be able to call so we can help them through that process if they are struggling. But you're right, when you're using the paper form, there's nothing something that we can do to stop voters from not including the information that they need. Another thing I will say, though, too, because this is an official state of Wisconsin mailer, those forms are actually going to come back to our office, the Wisconsin Election Commission office. We're going to data enter those into the statewide system for the clerks to review and ultimately approve whether or not it's valid. And we even have a process built into the system now so that if the clerk does ultimately deny somebody's absentee application because there is a deficiency. So let's say they determine that the voter's ID was not included, or the voter included an ID that is not acceptable. They sent along a selfie or something else that is not acceptable photo ID. The clerk will be able to generate a letter or a contact to send back to that voter and let them know about the deficiency in their application and coach them through what they need to do in order to make sure that they get their ballot. So consistency is really an important part of this process, is making sure all voters get the right information, that we reinforce the information that they need to provide to get their ballot, and that we're going to have that two-way communication to make sure if somebody's struggling or if they do have a deficiency in their application, that we can actually notify them about that to help them.
I'm wondering about estimates. I've seen estimates of like 1.8 million voters potentially voting mail-in. Is that still your estimate?
You know, we don't have any kind of estimate as we head into the fall. All we can really do is operate off of what we saw in April. In April, we saw a complete shift in terms of voter behavior and the option that voters chose to cast their ballot. Typically, our state did less than 6% of voting by mail absentee. In April, we saw more than 60%. And so I think voters are more aware of their other options for casting a ballot, and we don't really know what the evolving health crisis will bring as we head into the fall. And so we don't have a reliable way to really make a prediction, but we do know that we have to plan for high volumes in all three areas just to make sure that we have a robust infrastructure to be able to handle an increase in by-mail absentee, potentially an increase with in-person absentee and doing that safely. And so I think as we head into the fall, we're just going to plan for very large numbers in all those areas so we can make sure that we have safety precautions and accommodations in place no matter what voter behavior looks like this fall.
And it looks like these mailings with the applications will cost about $2.2 million and will be paid for with some of the federal funding that's coming to elections despite because of the coronavirus pandemic. So that's $7.3 million in federal funding. Are there going to be other ways that you guys are going to use that to expand access to mail-in voting?
Sure. So the rest of the funding has already been allocated to municipal level grants to make sure that they have what they need at the municipal level to be able to administer elections in this new environment and with this new voter behavior. And so each of the municipalities is eligible to receive a base grant of $200 plus $1.10 per registered voter. And so, you know, depending on the size of the jurisdiction and the number of voters that they have, they'll be able to ask for funds to be able to do things like make sure they have enough envelopes and ballots, postage to accommodate for the new process and the new type of voter behavior, in addition to making sure that they're able to run their in-person voting safely as well. So if they're doing increased in-person absentee voting or at the polling place, to also make sure that they have what they need to accommodate that new process and make sure that it can be done safely and securely. So all those federal CARES grant funds for elections have been allocated either through this voter education effort or to our municipal clerks to make sure that they have what they need at the local level.
And do you see what do you see as the biggest obstacle to a really open, expansive mail-in access in Wisconsin, like a system like in Colorado or Oregon?
So the state of Wisconsin, you know, it's all about how different states' laws are structured. So our law is structured to allow three options for voters to cast their ballot. And all of those options are available to anyone. So any voter can choose what's right for them. They can choose if they want to participate in person at the polls on election day, if they want to vote by in-person absentee, or if they'd like to participate by mail. And so here, our laws are structured to give the voters those options. In other places, there are options too, but a lot of those vote by mail states, they're automatically sent a ballot to voters. I won't go into the details about how our infrastructure is different. We're exempt from what's called the National Voter Registration Act, which means that voters aren't automatically registered at the DMV and other social service agencies. So in some of those states where they have automatic ballot sending to voters, there's a lot of other things in place that we don't have here that our laws and our process aren't structured for. So there would have to be very significant changes to move to that model. But right now, I think the most important thing that Wisconsin voters need to know is that every single Wisconsin voter has those three options and they get to choose which option is right for them. If they choose to get their ballots sent to them by mail, they need to make that request, but there's no reason or excuse required. That's an option available to anyone.
Actually, what I wanted to ask you is the instance of fraud in voting in Wisconsin. Do you have any statistics or anything like that that you would be able to share?
Sure. So after every general election, we're required to do basically an audit of the voter rolls and to make sure that, you know, if there was something that wasn't caught on election day, or let's say somebody cast a ballot two votes, we have to do an audit of all the voter records after a general election, and we have to submit those reports publicly and to the legislature. So if you take a look at our website, you can see all those reports from previous general election years where we've done that audit and where we've produced that data. We're also members of ERIC, where we compare voter participation with other ERIC states. And then again, if based on those investigations we find any wrongdoing, those cases are all referred to the district attorney. So you'll see those reports out there on our website from year to year. Even, you know, obviously one instance is something very serious and that we take it extremely seriously, but you'll see that there are relatively few in terms of percentages under 1%, well under 1% of ballots that, you know, ultimately are shown to have some kind of issue with or wrongdoing. And so all of that's publicly available information. And again, it's something that happens after every general election, and it's something that we're required by law to report publicly.
Last question, will we see any movement from the governor's office or from the GOP legislature? Have you heard anything that they're going to get involved with the mail-in ballot access? Is this totally a Wisconsin Elections Commission undertaking, or are any other aspects of the government going to get involved?
I haven't heard of any other initiatives. So, you know, the commission, obviously, we don't have any authority or power to change the parameters of the law. So, you know, there were sort of rumors earlier this year about how we could or should change the process to send everybody a ballot. That's not something that's within the ability or the statutory authority of the commission. We could not make a determination like that. The law says, you know, only registered voters can receive a ballot, and they have to make a request. And so changing something like that is just completely outside of the jurisdiction of the commission itself. So you, like you said, it would take some kind of act of the legislature to intervene, or a court's intervention for something like that to change. And, you know, right now there is certainly plenty of litigation happening around election-related issues, but there's no proposal that I'm aware of to significantly change things ahead of this fall's election.
All right. Well, Megan Wolf, will be in touch as Wisconsin keeps preparing for its upcoming elections.
Great. Thank you.
Megan Wolf is the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. She spoke with WUWM's Mayon Silver. Coming up next, we meet two local social entrepreneurs who started a dried fruit company. Lake Effect returns in a moment on WUWM.